Just after 8 o'clock, you are tuned into Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights, who face off in their preseason opener this afternoon at T-Mobile Arena. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday, live in the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio in Las Vegas. The we includes co-host Caleb Herring, the last UNLV quarterback to lead them to a bowl game, and he's the radio color voice for Rebels football and the co-host of the Tony Sanchez Show on Wednesday nights throughout the season on her sister station, ESPN The Leader, which is why Caleb will be on the phone and not in studio today. He's in Chicago, which is actually a good thing because we are just about standing room only in studio today. Also here, Jose Sudden Death Volante and the best damn producer in Las Vegas, Chris Magnum Chapman, who has spent the last two seasons moonlighting as the Vegas Golden Knights radio locker room reporter. Also here today, a guy who played with and blocked for Sweetness, the late, great Walter Payton, former Chicago Bear Robin Earl, and a couple of contest winners and friends of mine, Nick and Angelo Nagar, will be wearing headsets and will be part of today's Blazin' and our NFL pick segments. The show is also streaming on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live, on my personal page, on Caleb's personal page, on Jose's page, and on the show's page, which is called Out of Line. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. The show is live, and the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line is open for you to be heard. Give us a call, 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's going on, everybody? Good morning. This is Jose Sudden Death Volante, and of course, it's time for What's on Tap. What's on Tap is brought to you by our title sponsor, the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Make sure you check out cardinalfinancial.com. Yes, of course, we know Caleb is in Chicago. UNLV took the loss last night. They played good, though, but we're going to talk to him on the phone and see what happened over there. Not only that, as Brian said, we do have a full studio and lots to get to, including all of our usual segments. Fact this, Blazin', Nightcap, and the new Las Vegas Raiders segment. That's right. You heard me say it correctly. The Las Vegas Raiders. The feature is called CMB. I'm sorry, SMB with C, although today B is going to be C, if you guys know what I mean. Don't worry. That will make sense to all of us soon. Now, three big sporting events taking place all at the same time today in Las Vegas. We're also going to talk about that. And remember, before you get your bets down, we'll break down the games and give you our picks. That's What's on Tap. What's on Tap comes to you your way thanks to the Cardinal Financial Company, the first and only choice when looking for answers about home financing. Check out cardinalfinancial.com.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
It's a fact. On two radio shows last week, Out of Line co-host and former UNLV quarterback Caleb Herring predicted that UNLV would come out strong against Northwestern Saturday. They did. And up until late in the first half, they had a lead and went to halftime down by only a point. Caleb went as far on a show he was on as a guest on Friday to say that the Rebels would beat Northwestern. This, as we know, didn't happen. And looking ahead at their upcoming schedule, when it comes to gimme wins, there's no relief in sight. So my question to my co-host, who is joining us right now on the Fox Sports Cardinal Financial Studio line in Las... He's in Chicago. We're in Las Vegas. But listen, is it too early to pop the champagne to celebrate another year that you won't see and you won't be replaced as the last quarterback to take UNLV to a bowl game?
Well, I mean, I don't want to celebrate that. I want it to be over. It's a accomplishment I want to be forgotten. But I mean, it still stands as of now. It's not going to get easy. It's not going to be easy this year for it to fall. But no, it's one I want to get rid of. It's a title that has a sour taste a little bit. As a fan of the program, I'd like to see the program succeed and do better. But Northwestern actually was a great game. A tale of two halves. You got to put it all together in two games, in two halves. So. They weren't able to do that, and the second half kind of got away from them there.
Well, I want to ask you how you and your girl are enjoying Chicago. I saw you out at Wrigley Field the other day, and I'll ask you that in a minute. But come on, Caleb, I'm getting you a Mercury Morris jersey. You know damn well you enjoy the fact that you are the last quarterback to win to take them to a bowl game. And even though, that, like you said, you're an alumni and you'd like them to be successful, come on, man, let's admit it. You enjoy the fact that you are the last guy to take them. Mercury Morris pops champagne every year, and Caleb Herring secretly does himself a little war dance after it happens, right?
It is, but it's not. I do enjoy the title. I'm not going to lie. I like when people say it. It for my pride, it does something when I hear people say it, honestly. But it's not the only thing that I take pride in. There's other things that I take pride in that are more significant to me personally, like breaking Randall Cunningham's single game record for completion percentage. That to me is bigger. Like I'll take that. Or
saving Bobby Houck's job.
Every time. I'm in Chicago, man. Like, don't bring him up for me right now. I'm in Chicago.
You're enjoying yourself. All right, well, tell me, real quick before we get to the game, Caleb, you had a good time out there. You got to see the iconic Wrigley Field. I saw you toasting out there in the outfield. How cool was that? And what you guys done in Chicago?
Oh, my God. Wrigley's was amazing. I mean, Wrigley was it was everything I wanted it to be. I know I talked on the show about starting my tour day stadium and as my bucket list, and Wrigley was the first one I had it circled on a calendar to get out there for a game. And I tell you, it was everything I wanted it to be, coming to Chicago at the big city and being around all, you know, the architecture and all that stuff, of course. But Wrigley is a special stadium in the sports world, and being able to get out there and enjoy a game with my wife, my lady came out. So, it was a great game at that. The atmosphere was a packed house. They've got the playoffs, the postseason hopes are trying to fight. And you know, these are meaningful games against the Pirates. And it was a great game to be at. I mean, there's, like I said, packed stadium. There's a grand slam. 18 runs, I think, was the final score. We ended up hopping up and leaving. They scored another one before the thing ended. But
yeah, you saw a football game at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, pretty much. It was a high-scoring affair. It was showtime. There was plenty of reasons to cheer. You know, people were having a good time. I made some friends in the stadium. Like, you know, at any sporting event you do, the people you sit next to become your best friends for, you know, the next couple of hours. But it was fun. It was a great time, and I'm glad I got to do it. Chicago has been good to me so far.
Well, that's pretty cool. Sitting to my left on your radio dial is Robin Earl, former Chicago Baron. Of course, Caleb, you got to meet him Monday night with us all out at Buffalo Wild Wings last Monday.
I was going to say, Caleb got lucky because the Cubs outscored the Rebels that day.
Oh, you got to rub that in Mags. Caleb, Magnum's allowed to because he is a UNLV alumni, so he is allowed.
Yeah, he can do it.
Right.
I'm
not saying a word. I'm sitting back quiet. I'm just going to pop some champagne with you when you get home.
The funny thing is, you bring that up. My senior year, I think it may have been the greatest year in UNLV history, despite the fact that they went 2-10. It was John Robinson's last year, but you know who those two wins were against?
It had to be UNR.
One was Reno because J. Rob never lost to Reno. The other was BYU. At BYU. Oh,
well, those are two nice wins. If you're going to get two wins in a season.
If you're going to go 2-10, you may as well beat those two teams.
I would like those two teams. All right, Caleb, real quick, the game. You know, I heard you, man, and I did not give you credit. You were Nostradamus in the first half, man. You predicted it. You said UNLV would come out firing on all cylinders. Williams ran the ball really well. He scores two more touchdowns to add to his early total this year, which is looking pretty good. But other than the first half, Caleb, why didn't you stop these guys from getting on the plane and leaving for the second half? Because somebody else came out of the locker room.
Well, that's the thing. The second half was just a totally different team. And I don't think there was really any – well, the first drive of the second half offensively was solid until the interception. But after that, it was a different, I guess, approach to the game. I mean, Charles Williams essentially disappeared. And I know he left the game for about half a series with a leg injury. He came back. He was fine. He played the rest of the game. But he only touched the ball four times in the second half, as opposed to the 12 that he had for over 100 in the first half. So, I mean, he was a non-factor pretty much in the second half. And I don't, you know, of course, haven't watched the film on it or anything like that to break it down, but I don't know that Northwestern did anything different to key in on him. But even still, it was a close game all the way, a one-possession game for much of the second half. And they kind of abandoned the game plan that they had so much success with in the first half, which is moving the pocket for Armani when he does throw, but really focusing on the run game with Charles Williams and Armani as the threat to keep it. And they did it well in the first half. And like you said, that second half was just a different team. Now, defensively, they had a great game for four quarters, in my opinion. Now, the offense didn't help them out with some turnovers, put them in some bad field position spots that led to some easy scores. And then they gave up a couple of big plays in the passing game. But Northwestern, on most of their scoring drives in the first half, was helped by penalties that I think were questionable at best. I mean, Drew Techman's ejection was, in my opinion, a bunch of crap. I mean, it's like that guy, I understand helmet-to-helmet contact, but that's not intentional. He's trying to slow up and ease up on a guy that's falling in the plane of the level of his head is changing at a rapid pace. I mean, this guy can't react instantaneously to avoid that, but him being ejected and the defense still overcoming that and only giving up a field goal on that drive and kept, you know, in the second half a bunch of three and outs to keep the game close late in the game, but the offense never got that second gear or their second win or whatever the case may be in the second half. And you saw a little bit more of what we saw against Arkansas State, which was trying to force the pass and it not being productive and putting your offense and Armani Rogers in predictable passing situations that they came up short with more often than not in the second half.
We definitely saw how good Arkansas State was against Georgia yesterday, 55-0. Maybe they were just so high off of the win over UNLV that they didn't show up for that game. But, you know, Caleb, I mean, Armani Rogers did throw for over 100 yards, but my goodness, man, I mean, I'm going to say this to you, and the final question is, it's not that he played horrible. He played much better than he did a week prior. But the bottom line is, when do we start talking quarterback controversy for this UNL team? Because Kenyon Oblad is standing right there. He's a local guy. He played well in a mop-up role against Arkansas State, and granted it was against their twos or maybe even their threes, but in that little stint he played in the fourth quarter against Arkansas State, he looked better than Armani Rogers has all season, right or wrong?
Well, like you said, we'll put the caveat that he was playing against the twos and threes at Arkansas State, which the two deep and three deep at Arkansas State is not nearly as good as the starters of Northwestern, or for that matter, Arkansas State starters. So that has to be taken with a grain of salt, I guess. But he it's no secret, and I've not been shy about saying this, Kenyon Oblad right now is a better pocket passer, a better pure passer than Armani is. But that doesn't mean he's the best option. And I think that talk has to, it should fade away. I'm a fan of Kenyon. I love his game. I love him as a pure passer, but he doesn't affect the game the way Armani does. And I think I've talked about this a little bit, but tailoring your system to Armani Rogers and your skills and tailoring your offense and your approach to games to the skill set that you have, your best quarterback in college doesn't have to be the best passer. I mean, Tim Tebow wasn't the best passer on Florida, but he was the best guy for that team, and he got them to the national championship, and he was a great collegiate quarterback. The similar situation with Armani. He's not the best passer of the football. If he's in predictable passing situations, he's not going to be, you know, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady and lead drives with just his arm. He's not that guy. But the way he can affect the game and impact the game, and it showed in the first half against Northwestern, he threw 9 passes, with 7 of 9 on those passes. Solid game. Not a lot of yards, not gaudy stats, but you were in third and manageable situations where you didn't have to pass because of him and because of the run game and because of using your strengths. And you can manage the game that way and continue that. Then what we saw in the second half was a team that wasn't playing to their strengths. There was a lot of first down deep pass shots or first down pass calls that don't fit your personnel. And I think that was the case there. And the game kind of got away from you. And then eventually, as the game goes on and the lead starts to build, you have to throw. And that puts Armani up against the eight ball. You don't have the most potent passing game. So lean on what's working and go with the run game.
Well, you said a couple of things at halftime. This has been my complaint since Tony Sanchez has been the coach of UNLV, and maybe even we'll go back to your ex-coach, Bobby Houck. It is halftime adjustments. The best coaches come out and make adjustments based on the play of their opponent in the first half. I just continuously see UNLV come out worse in the second half than they were in the first half. And in a lot of games, it's amazing that's even possible. I'm sorry, I'm being brutally honest. And two other things, Caleb, before I let you go. One word you use that I will not use for any play at UNLV right now. You said you love the play of Kenyon Oblad. Love should not be used in anything when it comes to UNLV right now. They deserve no love whatsoever. That's number one. And number two, the best option to UNLV is a guy that used to wear number 8, Caleb Herring. Look at that. I gave you some props. You got 1 year left of eligibility, man. Can you come back like you did against Central and give this team one more win?
Oh, man, no, I'm tapped out. I got none, man. I wish I did. I've exhausted all my eligibility.
Well, Bobby Houck's trying to recruit you in Montana.
So I use love with Kenyon Oblad because I love his the way he delivers the ball. There's individual elements of his game, just watching him play as a quarterback, that I love about him.
I love that he looks like Ronnie Bass from Remember the Titans. That's what I love. Like, hold on one second, Caleb. But Robin's got a question for you.
Caleb, Robin Earl here. Hey, I'll be out there in a couple of weeks for the Bears alumni weekend. All I want to know is, how's the weather?
Oh, man. So the weather was great on Saturday. It was kind of funny because Wednesday there was a tornado warning, which was great.
Of course.
Thursday there was a huge lightning. Well, maybe not huge for people that are from the Midwest, from this area. That it was a lightning and thunderstorm and downpour that I haven't seen in years since I live in Vegas. And it's a sprinkle and everybody panics in Vegas. But it was a downpour on Thursday. Friday was windy, so I got a taste of what the Windy City was all about. But Saturday was about as beautiful a day as you're going to get anywhere in this country. I mean, sitting in the press box, looking out over the stadium with Lake Michigan in the background was like one of the most picturesque things I've ever seen at a football game. It was absolutely beautiful. Today it's a little bit cloudy, but the wind's blowing it past. I think it rained overnight, but it's a great day today. We're going to do some sightseeing. Get a little bit more of a taste of a Chicago before we head out. But it's a great city. I love the big city feel down here in downtown.
I lived there for nearly 38 years. We only have two seasons in Chicago. You know what it is? Winter and construction. That's it.
And the state bird, like in Michigan, is the mosquito. Okay, listen, we're gonna get to our blazing. Caleb, we appreciate you. Got anything blazing for us before Magnum plays the song? What's blazing, man?
Oh, man, I haven't had a chance to think about it.
How about getting to hang on a work trip with your lady? Isn't that pretty blazing?
It's pretty blazing. Yeah, my lady's blazing. I could say that.
There you go. She is. I'll back that
up. We're having a great time.
That's awesome, man. Hey, listen, appreciate the call. Have a safe trip back. And we'll see you Wednesday night. You got this Tony Sanchez coming up on ESPN Radio. They hold that out in the district in Henderson. Go check those guys out. It's a good show with Caleb and, of course, Russ Langer and Steve Cofield and, of course, the coach Tony Sanchez. Again, Caleb, safe travels, my friend. We'll see you soon.
All right. See you, buddy. Have a good one.
It is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. A Hail Mary pass from Centennial Hills Hospital. And we are there every Monday night for Monday Night Football parties, the best in town. We give away replica jerseys. We give away glassware. We give away wing parties. It's a lot of fun. Come on out. And you never know what celebrity guests are going to show up and hang with us. And also, we're going to be doing some Vegas Golden Knights watch parties for Buffalo Wild Wings coming up this year at all different locations, starting on the 25th of this month. And I will be filling you in next week when we talk to the regional manager for all of Buffalo Wild Wings. He's going to join us next week and fill us in on that. Right now, I'm going to kick us off with Blazin', and we're going to get everyone in here real quick to be Blazin'. But the first thing I want to do is two Blazin' things. One, obviously, we had a fight last night here in Las Vegas, and finally, a really good fight. I didn't see the fight Jose did. We don't got a ton of time to talk about it, but I want to say that I got to give it to a fight when the props are there. This was Blazin'. It was not a fight for the faint heart. I mean, the bottom line is, Tyson Fury had a cut over his right eye.
Two cuts.
The one primary cut really looked like, for God's sakes, they could have built a dam around this thing. It was unbelievable. It was constantly flowing the entire fight, but he managed to still out-punch Wally?
Otto Wallin.
Yeah, and he out-punched him 179 to, I believe, 127. And when they said impact or power punches, 127 to 84, he wins a 12-round unanimous decision. And comes out screaming he wants Deontay Walker, who gave him his only draw, to fight next, and he's probably going to get his wish. Pretty cool fight. By the way, it's the fifth time now that he has defended the lineal heavyweight title, all the combined belts. He is only the fourth guy since Muhammad Ali to do that, and pretty darn impressive to defend five times. Good fight from what I saw, but I'm going to say it's blazing just because I like it when we finally see a boxing match where the fighters actually earn their dough. I still don't think they earn their dough. I still think it's ridiculously the most overpaid sport. Even though they kick the crap out of each other, I'm amazed how much these guys make for that. And UFC fighters who literally are basically without gloves and kick each other in the head make one-tenth of the money boxers do. That still makes no sense to me. But I also want to say real quickly, Blazin', Jimmy Murphy, man, if you didn't see this guy, he is the new modern-day Rudy. 5'7", 195. That's a little bigger than Rudy was. But he got a carry for the Miami Hurricanes yesterday, a senior walk-on, and scored a touchdown, which doesn't usually happen for those guys. They're down to like the fifth team, and he gets in there and scores a touchdown, and they carried him off the field at the end of the game. So Jimmy Murphy, 5'7", out of Akron, Connecticut, is blazing today. Mags, what do you got, man?
I want to go with an anti-blazing, and I'm going to go with UCLA football.
Oh, God.
What a disgrace Chip Kelly has turned. He's not my boy, but what a disgrace. 0-3 on the season, absolutely destroyed yesterday at home against Oklahoma, 48-14. They lost on the road at Cincinnati, and again, they weren't even competitive in. They lost last week at home against San Diego State, 23-14. And then yesterday, the only thing Chip Kelly could really say is Jalen Hurts is a special player. Well, yeah, those are the types of players.
Too.
Those are the types of players you're supposed to be getting at UCLA, Chip. Special players. Don't know why it worked at Oregon and hasn't worked anywhere else, but maybe Chip should have stayed.
Reverse blazing, Mags. Yeah, I like
it. Maybe Chip should have stayed in Eugene because his career since he left Eugene has been one big bust.
I love playing against UCLA. They're my two career games in college.
Robin played at Washington. Jose, what do you got, man?
So if you guys did see that fight last night, my blazing is for the cut man, Jorge Capatillo. Yeah. They thought it was an accidental headbutt. It was not. It was a clear punch that Otto Vallen got Tyson Fury with. If you guys saw the whole fight, if it's not for this cut, man, they stop that fight because of the bleeding. They go to the scorecards. We don't know what happens at that point. Since it was a clear punch, he could have lost the fight if it goes to the scorecards. The cut man did a great job, kept them in there, kept the bleeding to a minimal, which wasn't that minimal because we saw the referee and everything else. But that's my blazing. I think that cut man needs a raise.
Hey, man. You got to give the guys behind the scenes some props. And I'll tell you what, the fact that he kept him in the fight when you see how bad that gash was, I mean, it was like open like 2 full inches the entire fight. I don't know how it wasn't bleeding. I argue that Tyson Fury might be an alien because I have no idea how blood wasn't flowing out of this thing continuously. It was crazy. What do you got, Robin? What's blazing, man?
Well, blazing for me is he wears number 15 for the Kansas City Chiefs, Mr. Patrick Mahomes. He's my blazing guy. You know, if this kid can stay healthy, he's going to break every NFL passing record. The Drew Brees, the Marinos, the you know, the Brett Favre's of the world. I mean, I tell you what, he is such an exciting player.
Yeah, player. He is.
And I'm so happy to have him on my fantasy team.
Now, you know, I got him too, Robin, and I'll tell you what, he's got a hell of a player to play with him. A guy that I thought should have been suspended, Tariq Hill, is probably one of the most electrifying players in the National Football League. When he gets in the open field, he reminds me of Barry Sanders, just a real tough guy to bring down. And the two of them together definitely make some blazing offensive weapons for sure.
Yeah, if he can keep the skilled guys around him. I know Teak's not playing today, so that's why I put snuck in the Sammy Watkins. I think he's going to get a lot of targets today. But
in the best shape of his life,
you
they
know
say.
this Mahomes kid. I mean, he's just fun to watch.
He is.
He's real fun to watch, and that's my blazing guy.
I love it. And we got a couple of guests in studios. They said they won a contest, picking out some winners at our live remote for Super Bowl Sunday. We do the show live down at Buffalo Wild Wings. And Nick and Angelo DeGar. Nick has got something blazing for us. What do you got, Nick?
Well, I have another reverse blazing.
I like it. We're going backwards today.
Privilege to play in the NFL, and I truly believe that the NFL and the New England Patriots should have suspended Antonio Brown, pending investigation, of course, but I don't believe he deserves to play in the NFL today, and unfortunately, they're allowing him to.
Yeah, Bill Belichick, man. I'm telling you what, like I said, one day Bill Belichick will relinquish the pictures of Roger Goodell that he has, naked pictures, because he has to. And I think, and I said, the other guy that's got a set of those pictures, his name's Josh Gordon. By the time his career's over, he's going to have been reinstated 97 times. I've never seen anything like it in my life. I like the reverse blazing. Angelo, what do you got? Let him step up here. Angelo Nagar with a blazing.
So I have the rematch of the NFC, okay. NFC Championship, the Rams and the Saints. So I believe that the Saints that are going to win by like 5,
okay.
I think.
You got that out there if you're placing your bets?
It's going to be a good game because the Saints also have Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, but they're also very mad about the pass interference call that was called on them.
I think they're going to have that chip on their shoulder all year, and it's a great call. I say Alvin Kamara reminds me is the closest thing I've seen since Barry Sanders retired. When he's healthy, he is an electrifying player. Great call. All right, there's our Blazing. And again, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Again, a Hail Mary pass from Centennial Hills Hospital. They have two happy hours every day. We know it's America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And again, we'll be out there tomorrow night as the Jets take on the Cleveland Browns. Both teams disappointing last week in their season opener, and the Jets without Sam Darnold and might be without Le'Veon Bell, who is hurt also. So that'll hurt my fantasy. I got to make some changes quickly.
I put him on the bench.
Probably a good move. Listen, we're going to take a real quick break. We are going to come back. We have a nightcap on the other side of this. As the Vegas Golden Knights start their preseason tonight at T-Mobile Arena against the Arizona Coyotes, and they are giving away Mark Stone bobbleheads. If you didn't get it, if you got a ticket, or tonight, it's always easiest to get tickets to the preseason. Tonight would be a hell of a game to go to. That's a collector's item you don't want to miss. And also on the other side, we are going to be talking to Michael Babcock, who's going to be with us shortly as well, from TMZ Sports. And hey, we're going to get to this guy, Robin Earl. He's got some cool stuff to tell us about, some good stories the other night at Buffalo Wild Wings. You are listening to Out of Line on Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, the Vegas Golden Knights. Mags, I thought the game initially I saw started at 3 o'clock, and now I see it starts at 1:30 today, so it really coincides. We've got the Vegas Golden Knights at 1:30. You've got the Las Vegas Aces at 2 o'clock playing in a playoff game. At the Thomas and Mac, which I forgot. It's not at the Mandalay Bay Center.
Yep.
And then you also have the NASCAR race, which starts at 4:10. It's almost an evening race, which is going to be pretty cool. It's playoff positioning, and we can't be in three places at once, brother.
Well, the NASCAR race, they need to start it later because it's going to be 100 degrees when they start. So I can only imagine, you know, when people kind of make those comments, oh, guys who do NASCAR aren't athletes. Look, you get in that car and you drive around, you know, for 400 laps or whatever it is around the track when it's 100 degrees.
Right.
It's probably about 150, 160 inside that car. So, you know, those guys are incredible. And I mean, I'm not going to be out there for that, but I'm going to be at the Golden Knights game where they will open the preseason today against the Arizona Coyotes. It is the very first preseason game in the NHL, so there's no other games today. I think most of them get started tomorrow or Tuesday. Golden Knights again back in action on Tuesday in Colorado, I believe it is. But yeah, tonight should be interesting, or today.
What are people going to see, Chris? You know, you're down there at the practices. You've been around these guys for their inaugural season last season. I've been around them too, but I haven't been to a practice this year. Guys like Cody Glass, big question mark whether he'll make the squad this year and make the opening day roster. There's been some changes that have surprised us. We're going to see a little bit of a different look this year, and it's going to be interesting with the first and second line. How Gallant is going to mix that up? I mean, is he going to go back to Carlson, Smith, and Marchessault on the first line, and have Stone and Mazzaretti and who else? And Stastny on the second line, or is he going to mix that around?
I think he's going to stay with what's worked. Now, there's two ways you could look at it. You could look at last year and say, well, Carlson, Marchessault, and Smith didn't achieve what was expected.
He moved Stone up, didn't he? He moved Marchessault down with Pacioretty, second line.
He kept, once Mark Stone got here, it was Stone, Pacioretty, and Stastny. That was the second line, or line 1B, whatever you want to call it. I think if that first line of Smith, Carlson, and Marchessault do not play like they did in year one, maybe he will mix things up. Because honestly, I would love to see Mark Stone play with William Carlson and Jonathan Marchessault. I think that would be maybe one of the most dynamic lines in hockey, because you have two of the best defensive forwards on one line, and William Carlson, who was a guy who was nominated for the Selke a couple of years ago. I mean, obviously wasn't in the final of it, but you know, he's a guy who could get the job done defensively as well as offensively. And then Mark Stone, who obviously was a finalist for the Selke last year. Maybe the best defensive forward in the league, but he doesn't get the notoriety because he plays on the wing instead of at center. But That would allow Marchessault basically to do whatever he wants in the offensive zone because he knows he's got two guys next to him who are basically going to make up for any deficiencies he may have in his defensive game. I'm not sure if we're going to get that. I would like to see that, and maybe we'll get a chance to see it in the preseason. But for the preseason, there's two things I'm looking for. Because I think I could already make my determination that Malcolm Subban is going to be the number two goalie, so I don't think that's going to be – I don't think Garrett Sparks or Oscar Dansk will beat him out. So I don't think that's much that I really need to look at. But I'm going to look at the play of the defensive young kids. Dylan Coughlin the last 2 weeks has really pushed to be in the discussion to being that guy who's on the opening night roster. I think Jake Bischoff is a guy who he was on the team last year on opening night. He never got an opportunity to play. But Zach Whitecloud has looked really, really impressive in camp so far. And then the other thing I'm going to look for is Cody Glass. Are they going to give Cody Glass every opportunity to succeed by playing him with guys who are certified pros and vets? You know, like in the preseason, sometimes in hockey, you get all different line combinations, and Gerard Gallant may change them up in the middle of a game. But I want to see who Cody Glass plays with, and I want to see how he does playing with, if he has the opportunity to play with Stone, if he has the opportunity to play with Marchessault. That's what I really want to see, because I think that's going to give us an idea of what their thoughts are on Glass making the team out of camp. I mean, there's really not a lot of open spots in the forward position. I think Glass is in the discussion, but I don't think he beats out Nosek, who I believe will be either the fourth or third line center. He's obviously not going to beat out Cody Eakin. That leaves basically a spot with Valentin Zhykov and Nicholas Waugh as that last spot. So it'll be interesting to see who gets that spot, because I think there's three guys vying for one spot. Glass could be that guy. But the thing is, if Glass is here, he has to play. You can't keep him here and sit him in the press box. That doesn't help him at all.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up in Chicago again this year, Chris. I just do.
That would be my guess as well.
I think his body has still got to develop a little bit more. He's got to put some more weight on. We did expect this to be the year we would see Cody Glass debut with the Vegas Golden Knights. I just don't think it's going to happen. And listen, I really wanted to really quickly throw in there one of the things I didn't mention on Blazin. I got a chance the other night, or I should say the other afternoon, other morning, Friday, to check out the Goodyear blimp. I didn't even have it on my bucket list. Talked to you guys about it briefly, but I got to go on the Goodyear blimp, and it was ridiculously cool. I got to do it Fox Sports Radio, thanks to them and everyone else for getting me out there. We didn't get to fly. There were technical difficulties, but I got a rain check, and next time they're in town, I will be flying on the blimp, but I got to check it out. I got to walk around on the canopy. They actually called it the gondola, and it is just really cool. Met the pilots, got a full-blown tour and all the historicity, and really enjoyed it. And I want to thank all the people from Goodyear for having me out, and of course for Lucy Roberts, and of course Wes as well. These guys were awesome, and they had me out as well, and I really appreciate them. They were Lucy is with the Zeno Group, and so is Wes, and they're the ones that are the PR people. They are doing a sweepstakes right now. It's called Burnout Sweepstakes on social media, and it's through NASCAR, and they asked me to give them a plug here. If you want to try to get this, it's really a neat event. Check it out. All the details are at woobox.com. That's WOOBox.com. You can find out how to enter and more about it. I don't have much more time to talk about it today, but really cool event. And check it out. Once again, I want to thanks to Goodyear, the pilots, all you guys for letting me out there. It was awesome, and I really enjoyed myself. Real quickly, want to get to our guest here. Man, haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, and we're halfway, three-quarters of the way through the show. Robin Earl, again, I got to play at the University of Washington. Tight end, fullback. They kind of kept moving you back and forth, but you ended up moving back to fullback for the last couple of years at Washington. Ended up being the most valuable player on the team your senior year, drafted by the Chicago Bears back in, I believe it was 77?
1977.
And got to play there for a few years, block and play with the Chicago Bears right before they made that huge turn to 1985,
right,
and one of the greatest defensive schemes we've seen in the history of the National Football League. I've never seen anything like it. But, Robin, maybe it was good to get out of there, or you would have been dancing in the Super Bowl shuffle.
Yeah, might have been. You know, Brian, it was 42 years ago that I was drafted, and it seems like yesterday. Fortunately, I can still remember. there's a lot of head issues now in the NFL, but back then we didn't have the ESPN and all the TV, and all I had was a radio to listen to the draft, and it started at 6 a.m. East or West Coast time because they were out in New York. And a couple of my fraternity brothers knocked on the door with a big tub of beer and said, as soon as Robin gets that phone call, we'll crack open a beer. Well, it took till about 12:05, I remember. I was the third pick, the fifth pick in the third round in 61 overall. And all I remember was Jim Finks, the general manager, he says, welcome to Chicago. And, man, I tell you, the only thing that went through my mind, being a 6'5", 255-pound stumbling, bruising fullback, was I get the block for this amazing running back. He wears number 34. I called him Willie Payton on the phone. I didn't even know who he was, right? And all I told the press is there, listen to my interview. I says, all he has to do is follow my butt. That's all he has to do. Next day in the Chicago Tribune, he sent me the article, follow Robin's butt. So it was such an exciting time for me. And if it wasn't for ESPN highlights and Walter Payton number 34, I would never be in them. You know what I mean?
I got to tell you, Robin, growing up in Detroit, I got to see the Bears play twice a year, once at the Silver Dome and, of course, once on the road. But the Lions played them twice a year. All of my life, I say that I've gotten to see three 200-yard rushing games by running backs in the National Football League. The first one I saw was by O.J. Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was by the great Walter Payton. And the third one was by Barry Sanders.
Barry Sanders, sure.
And I got to tell you something. When you see backs with the ability to rush for 200 yards in the National Football League, where the speed is so incredible, I didn't and never appreciated the speed of the game until I started working for the Detroit Lions Radio Network and got to go down on the field during games. And I am blown away from watching a collegiate game on the field, from playing in a high school game to watching a collegiate game and then watching a pro game. It is like watching guys to start off in high school riding around on tricycles, and next thing you know, they're riding Formula One cars when you get to the pros. It's that much different.
Yeah, the biggest question they ask me, what's the difference between high school and college? Speed of the game. It's like night and day. Then you go from college to the pros. I mean, then you get that next elevation. It's just incredible. And then you have to really appreciate these athletes. They're like stallions now in the NFL. I have the privilege of going to mini camp when I'm in Chicago, and then when I'm down for the alumni game in 2 weeks against Minnesota Vikings, I get to go down on the field and watch these guys warm up. It's just amazing how big and fast they are today. I thought I was big and fast back in my day. I was 42 years ago.
Seriously,
even though I'm 50 pounds lighter now, but I was big and fast, okay? But today, these guys are just absolute stallions.
Yeah, it is such a different world out there now when you look back and you say, well, what players could have played back then? Like, one of the things, and I was just having a conversation, and never would I downplay how phenomenal of a player Jim Brown was. Even though I didn't get to watch him play, we've all seen the highlights, and he was a man among men at the time he played. But in today's game, he would be an average-sized running back.
Correct.
I mean, so how good, and the reason for that comparison, Robin, is comparing a guy like Barry Sanders to Jim Brown. Barry Sanders would have been ridiculously successful in any era. But my question is, would Jim Brown be as successful today? Now, I know he played before you did,
right. But
would he be as successful today as he was when he played?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. To answer your question, I would say no. But I've met Jim several times, been on the golf course with him. I respect the man, but he was the best at the time. Understand, it's just different eras. With all the physical, the nutrition, steroids a little bit, but you know what I mean.
I do.
The kids today are just getting bigger, faster, stronger, and it's just the way it's going to be.
Yep, and we're going to see that continue. I mean, eventually the average offensive lineman probably passed
400.
I was going to say 420 pounds. Here he is. He's 6'9", 420 pounds, out of Washington Robins. Like, why wasn't that guy blocking for me, man?
Hey, listen. And running 4.740s, you know.
Listen, we're going to take our second break right now. We'll get that one out of the way. We'll come back. We'll try to get Michael Babcock from TMZ Sports on the phone. We want to do our new feature, which is SB&C, although it's today, it's SB&B, because B, C's for Caleb, B's for Brian. I'm filling in for him today. And that is our brand new Raiders report. And then, of course, the finale, where you're going to get our picks, and we'll try to squeeze in a little bit of banter about the National Football League. This is Out of Line on Fox Sports Radio. 4 and 3 and 2 and 1. Sports Radio, this is Out of Line. And we're here right up until 9 o'clock. And joining us right now from TMZ Sports, my friend Michael Babcock. And I think we're talking a little Antonio Brown today, brother. What's going on, man?
Brian, what's going on, brother? Thanks for having me.
Oh, always, always. Looking forward to it. And I love getting the inside scoop. TMZ, as you guys know out there, gets the inside scoop on everything. And Michael Babcock's right there in the mix. What do you got for us, brother?
Well, first of all, I guess let's start with what's going on today. Antonio Brown, you know, as we've heard, and, you know, as is expected after you see him practicing throughout the week with the Patriots, but Antonio Brown is going to play football today. I think the question is now, does Antonio Brown play football after today? This woman who has accused him of, on three separate occasions, you know, of either sexually assaulting or on one occasion in 2018 raping her, is going to meet with the NFL tomorrow with her attorneys. And you have to wonder, depending on what happens in that meeting on Monday in New York City, if Antonio Brown then is not put on the exempt list after this meeting. I think it's going to come down to whether or not the NFL finds her to be believable and finds her to be credible. But I would not be shocked in the least bit if, after today, after we watch Antonio Brown run around, probably score a few touchdowns on the Dolphins, if he doesn't play football, at least for a majority of the season after today, because he's placed on the exempt list.
Well, you know what that tells me? It tells me TMZ somehow has a satellite picture of Antonio Brown committing domestic violence. You guys have a satellite picture. Somehow you found a satellite, right?
No. No satellite photos, Ryan, but I've read the lawsuit. I've talked to people, talked to her attorneys, and this stuff is—it's pretty gross. To be frank, I don't need to go back into the accusations and exactly what she says that Antonio did to her, but it's not good stuff. If he did do what she said he did, he's fortunate that she didn't go to police, because you got to remember, this is only a civil lawsuit here now.
So yeah,
we're only talking money. We're not talking jail time. For whatever reason, it's not really known to anybody at this point. She did not go to cops in either city, not in Miami, not in Pittsburgh. So only money we're talking here, fortunately for Antonio Brown.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Robin Earl here. I'm a big fan of yours.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, yeah. How long ago did this happen with the trainer?
Mid 2017, there were two incidences that happened in June. There was no forcible rape, according to the accuser, at that point. He just did some stuff like essentially pleasuring himself on her.
2 years goes by. 2 years goes by. Now she's just coming out with this?
Right. So that's the question. That's what everybody, if you're in Antonio Brown's camp and you're on his side, you're trying to defend him here, I think that's what a lot of people have pointed to. That one, she did not go to police, and two, that it has been over 2 years since the first and second incident that she claimed happened. So if you're on Antonio Brown's side and you're fighting for him here, I think that's something that you want to look at, and you're looking for an answer. Why did she wait so long? Why did she wait 2+ years to say anything about this to anybody?
Well, it's such
the rape, guys, was in the mid-2018, so still been over a year from when she claimed that rape happened.
Yeah, you know, I hate to use this word, and especially it's such a touchy subject, but, you know, the word opportunist, and I don't like using it, but when you see something like this and all how much Antonio Brown's been in the news lately, what a great opportunity to go and be a benefactor of that. And again, I until we hear the things, I don't want to say it, but, and especially hearing you say he may be out the rest of the year, that's really scary. Michael, got to let you go. We're going to have you back on again next week. Michael Babcock, TMZ Sports, appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, fellas. We'll talk then.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, we got to fly through this right now. We're going to get right into our NFL pick segments and knock this out. Just if you, so you know, last week in the NFL pick segments, we went 0-for. Other than, thank goodness, we had Lyndon Kig, the NFL Las Vegas alumni president here, to give us the one and only win. And, of course, he picked the Raiders. I went with Carolina, who we just heard Robin talk about, very disappointing, who lost to the Rams by 3. I was getting a point, and they were a home dog, actually a point and a half. Mags and Jose both took the Jets, favored at home against the Bills. How they lost by a point to the Buffalo Bills is beyond me. And, of course, Caleb Herring, who last year couldn't do anything wrong, can't pick his nose with a back scratcher this year. He's 0-2, and he took the Browns, who got destroyed by the Titans at home last week. I do think that surprised all of us, as everyone was anticipating, really anticipating watching the Browns play.
Didn't surprise
and
me.
I didn't expect them to lay an egg like they did.
I said multiple times I didn't buy the hype on them. So
And today's not going to be indicative of how good they are because they're playing a very hampered New York Jets team. But, Mags, let's start with you. All that being said, who do you like?
Well, I watched your Detroit Lions last week, and they almost lost in the most Detroit Lions way possible.
I said it.
Blown timeout, blocked punt, two-point conversion, all that stuff.
Go ahead. Stick it in a little deeper, Mags.
They're hosting the Chargers today. I like the Chargers, despite the fact that it's an early start for them. I think they're going to go to the Silver Dome or whatever the hell they call that dump they play in, and they're going to crush.
They play at Ford Field, and it happens to be one of the most beautiful facilities in the country. And they are getting a point and a half at home from the Chargers. That's Mag's pick. We'll go to Jose.
To all you Cowboys fans out there, they are not America's team. They have not been for over 20 years, so get over it. The Washington Redskins are my pick for today.
Ooh, I can't touch the NFC East.
Not
that
the
wins,
just to cover.
I'm going to take both.
Jose's got the line, and that is 5.5 the Cowboys are giving the Redskins. Robin
okay.
Earl, and we got the bunch. Angelo, step up here. Tell us who you are representing. What do you got going for us? 30 seconds. Yep, 30
seconds.
Quick.
I got the Saints covering over the Rams.
He's going to take the Saints and the Rams. I am going with Nick Nagar's special pick, the Bengals, giving a point to the 49ers at home. We're out. We're here every Friday. Every Sunday, 8 to 9, Fox Sports Radio. Good luck to the Aces who played today at the Thomas and Mack in the playoffs. I'm Brian Feldman. We're out next week.
Go Bears.
Erica Hamby got the Sixth Woman of the Year award this morning. Congratulations.
Congrats. See ya.